When accusations of corruption are made, do you think that the police investigate as vigorously as possible?
I think it depends very much on the particular allegations and the particular police force. Some allegations of corruption, yes, do get investigated smartly. Others seem to linger around for far too long.
Repeatedly, over many decades, senior police chiefs have said, no, it's a problem from the past. Even if it's only 3 or 4 years in the past, now we don't have this problem. That seems to be the attitude. I think the idea that there is no corruption in the police is one that senior police officers shouldn't have themselves. It is there. If they look hard enough to find it, they will find it. If they look hard enough and deploy sufficient resources, I'm talking about particularly in undercover officers and so on, against people who are even suspected of being corrupt, they would find their convictions. Sometimes I think even people who are not involved in the corruption will want to cover up the corruption because they are worried about the image of the police, and therefore it undermines a lot of the admittedly good work that the police do to improve their image. Because let's face it, the police do a lot of good work, including the Metropolitan Police.
Lord Smith's interactions with the police revealed that many officers were doing their best to rectify the mistakes of the past and deliver justice for the Morgan family.
I think there were a number of genuinely concerned senior police officers during the course of the period when I was arguing for another reopening of the case, another look at the case, another intervention from the Home Secretary. There were some senior officers in the police who did seem to take it seriously, who were making a genuine effort to try and establish what was happening. But I think it was the system that was the problem rather than the goodwill of particular officers. It was simply that there wasn't enough attention, resource, focus and power behind the various inquiries.
After nearly a decade of inaction, the Morgan family learned of a new police investigation in 1999. This was the third investigation. The police had bugged several locations, including the offices of Southern Investigations here in Thornton Heath. The police were listening in on Jonathan Rees. Some months into the operation, a conspiracy was uncovered. A man came to Southern Investigations for help. He wanted them to ensure he won custody of his children in a divorce. What was Southern Investigations' solution to this? Plant drugs in his ex-wife's car to incriminate her. The whole plot was recorded.
This conspiracy was actually carried out. The drugs were planted, it was filmed by the police, the whole thing. And another serving police officer was involved in this, and they were caught red-handed.
Rees and the corrupt officer were arrested and convicted. The officer was given a 4-year sentence and Rees got 7. The bugging also revealed that Mr. Rees was working extensively with the tabloids. He was routinely paying police officers for information and selling it on to the newspapers. Unfortunately, the murder investigation was abandoned when the drugs conspiracy was uncovered. This meant a whole new attempt was launched in 2001. 4 investigations in 14 years. But in 2003, the Crown Prosecution Service decided not to bring any charges. 2006 would see a 5th investigation. But by this time, the Morgan family had seen their hopes dashed on 4 separate occasions. Number 5 would be different. In 2008, 4 people were charged with the murder of Daniel Morgan. The police had finally come through, and there would be a trial at the Old Bailey. Justice at last. Jonathan Rees, his brothers-in-law, Gary and Glenn Vienne, as well as a builder named James Cook, were all charged with murder. At the same time, Sid Fillery was charged with perverting the course of justice. There were problems with the case, though. The defence was unhappy with the prosecution's use of evidence from supergrasses, criminals and former criminals giving evidence on old associates.
The judge had to hear this abuse of process defence in court in order to then decide whether the trial would proceed or not. And the Met told us, we were told that there was mounting an abuse of process defence. We'll have it out of the way in about 3 weeks, they said to us. In fact, it lasted 20 months of hearings. It just went on and on and on and on, endlessly. And oh, it was just absolute torture, you know. Over the 20 months, you know, like one witness would be excluded, then another witness would be excluded. And I could just see the case collapsing.
After 20 months, the trial collapsed. The investigations down the years had generated 750,000 documents and led to some of the longest legal arguments ever seen in an English criminal court. The judge, Mr. Justice Madison, remarked that the vastness and complexity of the case was unusual and the Crown was principled and right to drop the case. On the other hand, he said that the police had been justified in pursuing the case. They'd had ample grounds to justify the arrest and prosecution of the defendants. Jonathan Rees maintained his innocence throughout, and after the collapse, he criticised the police's reliance on supergrasses to build their case. His statement read, "When Daniel Morgan was killed, it was an awful shock to me and to our business. Whatever anyone may say, on the 10th of March 1987, I lost a friend and a business partner." After more than two decades of struggle, Alistair had felt that finally there would be justice for his brother's murder. The collapse of the trial was yet another heartbreaking setback.
Getting my brother's killers caught and exposing the corruption in and around this case has been the most central purpose of my life for 24 years. You know, I mean, it's been everything else in my life has been secondary to that. Seeing it all crumble to dust in front of my eyes after we'd really, really thought that we got them this time, you know, but it wasn't to be.
The collapse of the murder trial showed that it would be impossible to get a murder conviction with the evidence currently available. This could have been the end of the story, case closed, simply because too much time had passed. But something else happened in 2011 that handed the Morgan family a lifeline. From the top of the Metropolitan Police came this message. "This current investigation has identified ever more clearly how the initial inquiry failed the family and wider public. It is quite apparent that police corruption was a debilitating factor in that investigation. This was wholly unacceptable." Even though no one had been held accountable, the police were finally acknowledging the wrongdoing of officers publicly. This was a valuable admission for the Morgan family.
I think certainly it's unusual for the police to come out with such a, after all, quite explicit admission of really guilt in respect of previous investigations in terms of corrupt practice and also the failure to investigate that corrupt practice. It could indicate, of course, a new willingness, an openness, more transparency in getting to the bottom of this. A cynic might say, well, police were put in a position, well, what else could they do? You know, the evidence in many ways speaks for itself.
The 2011 admission that corruption had taken place, yet gone unpunished, compelled Theresa May, the Home Secretary, to act. She announced the creation of the Daniel Morgan Independent Panel with the full support of the Met Police. The panel would have access to all relevant documents held by government agencies, the police and prosecutors. The panel was set the task of shining a light on the murder itself and the investigations into it. The Home Secretary went as far as specifying a number of areas that the panel must address. Police involvement in the murder, the role played by police corruption in protecting those responsible for the murder, and the failure to confront that corruption. Three very encouraging starting points. For the Home Secretary to say that there may have been police involvement in not just the cover-up, but the actual murder itself is hugely significant.
I think having an independent panel is a good step forward. It's better than simply continuing the run of internal investigations. It would almost certainly have been better to be a thorough judicial inquiry with power to subpoena witnesses and to ensure that everything that could be unearthed was unearthed. The panel is a halfway step to that. It's better than anything we've had before.
The fact there have been so many inquiries, investigations that are perceived to have failed in this matter does put pressure on the new inquiry team to come up with something that is substantial, that will be conclusive, and will not be considered to be a whitewash. They know that pressure is there. It's certainly the case that this is the best shot so far in more than 25 years that Daniel Morgan's family and indeed the wider public have had in getting to the truth of what's happened in this case.
What began as a murder in a South London car park has become not only a 30-year fight to bring the killer to justice, but to change the way in which the police and the state fight misconduct and criminality within their ranks. What happened here in South London had big ramifications out there in the centres of power.
Surely, as soon as injustice, corruption is even hinted at by the production of evidence such as that Alistair Morgan and others have produced, our balances and checks in our society, in our oversight of police, for example, should, in theory, spring into action and take up the case on their behalf. But that hasn't happened in this case, and it didn't happen in the Hillsborough case. Not for decades did it happen.
It should not require that degree of persistence to get anywhere on a case of this kind. The fact that it has required that persistence is a bit of a condemnation of the system for investigating these sort of cases that we have in this country at the moment.
We have to hold our police to account. The police force, and in particular the Metropolitan Police Force, is an extremely powerful organisation, and it's there to serve us, not to serve its own ends or to serve political masters or anything like that. Is there to serve us.
There is no set date for the independent panel to complete its report, although it may be done by the end of 2015. Police corruption in 1987 has resulted in a nearly 28-year struggle for the Morgan family to not only bring his killer to justice, but hold the state to account for its failures to do so. This is the importance of the police dealing with corruption in their ranks and stamping it out. No family should have to suffer like the Morgans have done.